Blast from Our Past Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown. Here are your hosts, Adam and John Spees.
Welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown, a no-holds-barred trivia match between two contenders fighting for nostalgic glory. I'm your host, Adam Spees.
I'm your co-host, John Spees.
And today we are still in our first round of the 2024 TTT Trivia Tournament. In one corner, to achieve his dream of attending Harvard, a pampered teen poses as a young black man to receive a full scholarship. It's Matt the Soul Man, Coleman. You remember that movie?
I do. I don't know how I feel about that in 2024. But
no, not good. Not good. How you doing, Matt? And please remind everybody about you.
Sure. My name is Matt. I'm from Seattle. And yeah, excited to be back.
All right. Excited to have you. And your opponent today. Oh, hey, guy. You looking so good today. Do fries come with that shake? He's so sexy. I just have to catcall Paul McLaughlin. Hey, Paul.
Hello. Boy, that is an excellent intro. I'm very happy that you clearly had that well planned out in advance.
Yeah, I didn't rush that one. You're welcome, Paul. Would you please remind everybody a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, Paul McLaughlin. Born, raised, spent my entire life at the Jersey Shore, and now living in Pittsburgh for the past few months, establishing my family and I's new life out here and enjoying it.
All right. Well, I know just like you enjoy Pittsburgh, you also enjoy our rules.
Entering the ring are two contestants who will engage in three rounds of head-to-head trivia. Here are the rules. Round one consists of 10 questions in different pop culture categories focused on a decade that will be randomized. If you answer incorrectly, your opponent has the chance to steal. And the categories are movies, music, television, toys and games, sports, fashion, slang, news and politics, literature, and food. Round two consists of the same 10 categories, but this time your opponent gets to pick your category. Each correct answer gives you 10 points. In the final round, you may bid up to as many points as you've earned before answering the final two questions. The categories for the final questions will be picked by the contestants, but the decade will again be randomized from those remaining. You must get both answers correct to earn your wager. Now it's time for a takedown.
All right, now that I got to know the rules of the show, I want to get to know Paul and Matt just a little bit better. And most people out there know I am a fan of a certain comedy film called Coming to America. But Eddie Murphy has done a lot of other amazing comedies. So I want to know, what is your favorite Eddie Murphy movie that's not Coming to America?
Raw, straight up, hands down.
Okay. Okay, you're going with the stand-up film. Makes sense.
Yep.
Actually,
yep.
Yeah.
I'll go with Beverly Hills Cop.
Okay.
If I was told that comedy film, that stand-up films don't count, that's where sure. I was going.
Sure. But I mean, I think it did come out even theatrically. Raw, I can't remember. But, you know, it totally different types of thing. Do I like Eddie Murphy for his stand-up comedy, which he is a legend at? Or do I like him better at some of his comedy and one of his strongest franchises, Beverly Hills Cop? Yeah, easy enough for me. It's Beverly Hills Cop. I will watch that movie way more than I will go back and rewatch Raw. Even though Raw is fantastic, both great answers, but Beverly Hills Cop is the superior choice. So
can't argue it.
Yeah, sure. All right. So that means Matt, you get a pick first.
I'll take movies.
And we're going to start off in the 2000s.
Okay. What 2000 Christopher Nolan film features a character named Leonard Shelby who uses Polaroids and tattoos to compensate for amnesia?
I still think this might be his best overall movie, Memento.
Memento is correct, and it is a phenomenal film. All right, over to Paul.
All right, I am going to go sports.
Okay. Interesting.
And we're going back to the 60s.
All right. In 1965, NHRA driver Don Garlitz won his first of six NHRA Top Fuel Dragster Championships. What nickname did Garlitz go by? Adam Sandler in 1999 would approve.
I thank you very much for that back end hint. When you started talking about 1960s NHRA, I was like, oh, okay, I know who Don Garlitz is. Oh, crap, he's putting that in the question. So, but I'm pretty sure his nickname was Big Daddy.
Big Daddy is correct. Good job. All right, we are back to Matt.
Television.
Okay, a little TV.
And we're going back to the 2000s.
In the 2005 to 2008 animated show Avatar: The Last Airbender, who is the young Avatar responsible for bringing balance to the world and mastering all four elements?
Aang.
Aang is correct. All right, to Paul.
I'm going to go with literature.
Literature coming at you.
From the 60s.
Wow, 2000s and 60s. And we've got a question from Jackie LaFave. Thank you, Jackie. Richard Scarry is an author best known for his best ever book series beginning in 1963, which takes place primarily in what fictional municipality? Which is populated by friends and helpful anthropomorphic animals like Mr. Fumble, Huckle Cat, Mr. Fix-It, Lowly Worm, and others.
Pretty sure that's Busy Town.
Busy Town is correct.
All right.
Well done. All right, back to Matt. What 2000s category do you want?
Let's do news and politics.
Okay.
It's the 50s.
The 50s. All right. What colorful name was given to a moral panic about homosexual people in the U.S. government, which led to their mass dismissal from government service beginning in 1950. It contributed to and paralleled the anti-communist campaign known as McCarthyism.
I don't know this. I'm going to guess at the... The pink scare.
The pink scare is incorrect. Paul, can you steal?
Oh, well, that might have been a big help for me. Because now I have not heard this, but I figure, well, this is going to probably be a playoff of the Red Scare. Wait a minute. Was it the Red Scare or the Red Menace? I think it was the Red Scare. No, wait, Red Menace, but it's going to be pink. So I am going to go Pink Menace.
Pink Menace is incorrect. So y'all did catch on that it was a tie-in to the Red Scare, but they didn't go with pink at the time. They went with lavender. The Lavender Scare is what they called it. Okay. All right. No points awarded, and we are back to Paul.
Let's go toys and games.
All right. Little toys and games. Just a bunch of crazy toys and games.
From the 2000s.
Oh, okay, now Paul gets a 2000s one. All right. What two-player board game was released in 2005 and was definitely not created by Stephanie Meyer? Players are the U.S. and the Soviet Union contesting each other's influence on the world map by using cards that correspond to historical events.
Well, I am not familiar with this game. So all I have to work with is the Stephanie Meyer in. I'm just going to have to go Twilight.
Twilight is incorrect. Matt, can you steal?
Nope, probably not. Paul took everything I could have guessed about this question. So Stephanie Meyer also had another... She had one other book. It was a terrible alien novel. I thought something like I'm going to say Invasion.
Invasion is also incorrect. John, you're the local family board game guy.
Okay, so I don't know if this is correct. I've never played this game. I've just seen the title at my shop. Is it Twilight Imperium?
Twilight Imperium is probably a expansion or something on it. It is originally called, it is Twilight Struggle is what it's called.
No, I think that's a completely separate game.
Okay. All right. Well, so yes, sorry, Paul, you were there. You both kind of picked up on the Twilight, but yeah.
Yeah, I had fully assumed that there was going to be another word to it, but
I got you.
Say a random word, and that's probably not going to work out for
me. Yeah, that was a tough one. Definitely one of my tougher questions. All right, we are going to go back to Matt.
Let's try slang.
Okay. We're on back to the 50s.
Okay.
And for the record, no, Twilight Imperium is not at all related to Twilight Struggle. I just looked it up.
Okay, gotcha. In 1951, Cleveland-based disc jockey Alan Freed began playing a particular music with electric guitars and high tempo on mainstream radio, and he popularized what phrase for this style?
I'm going to hope this is just rock and roll.
Rock and roll is correct. That is when the term rock and roll came out. All right. Paul, we're back to you.
I will go with food.
Okay.
And your decade is the 90s.
What alliterative coffee chain was founded in Edina, Minnesota in 1992? After a trip to Denali National Park in Alaska, the founder came up with the idea and name of the business.
Alliterative coffee company. This is... I have done trivia recordings a couple days in a row now, and the amount of coffee things that have come up, I hate coffee. I have had two cups in my life. It's gross.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Can I please get a reread?
What alliterative coffee chain was founded in Edina, Minnesota in 1992? After a trip to Denali National Park in Alaska, the founder came up with the idea and name of the business.
I really have nothing on this. Java Joint.
Java Joint is incorrect. Matt, can you steal?
I think so. My wife is a big coffee drinker and is also from Minnesota, so this helps. I think it's Edina, Minnesota, by the way, but you know, it's fine. They're the cake eaters from Mighty Ducks.
Nice.
Comes from. Yeah. I believe this is Caribou Coffee.
Caribou Coffee is correct. Good job with the steal. And
yeah, I should say that I can't stand coffee. I do make it every morning because my wife loves it. So
there you go. All right, Matt, you get a pick between music and fashion.
What a choice it is. I'll take fashion.
Okay.
And that is also the 90s.
Is a clothing brand founded in Los Angeles in 1990 by American artist and designer Eric Brunetti and professional skateboarder Natas Kupas, Kaupas, K-A-U-P-A-S. F-U-C-T has been referred to as one of the pioneering brands of modern streetwear. The founders must have been suspicious of each other because F-U-C-T is an acronym that stands for what? And I haven't decided if I'm going to bleep that or not bleep that, because that's how you pronounce the company.
I have a couple other things that I'd like to say right now that you could also bleep out, but...
I honestly think you should bleep it out, because I think it'd be funnier that people wouldn't know what it was until you spelled it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have this. I'm not going to belabor this. I'm just going to pass on this one and send it over to Paul.
All right, passing over to Paul. Do you know the acronym?
I think I do. I would just like a reread just to confirm something here.
Sure. is a clothing brand founded in Los Angeles in 1990 by American artist and designer Eric Brunetti and professional skateboarder Natas Kaupas. Has been referred to as one of the pioneering brands of modern streetwear. The founders must have been suspicious of each other because the F-U-C-T in F-T is an acronym that stands for what?
Okay, yeah, I think I got it. Yeah, what was the company name again?
That would be F-T. F-U-C-T.
Thank you. Okay. just confirm. Friends You Can't Trust.
Friends You Can't Trust is correct.
Right.
Well done. All right. And we are going to end things in music for Paul.
And that's the 2000s.
Okay. In 2006, what Canadian singer had a number one song in five countries? That's the U.S., Canada, New Zealand, Denmark, and Australia, with the dance pop song Promiscuous featuring Timbaland.
Well, you know I like me a music category, but the newer it gets, the more difficult it gets for me. I had a couple of answers until you got to the very end there and named the actual song. one more time, please.
In 2006, what Canadian singer had a number one song in five countries with the dance pop song Promiscuous featuring Timbaland?
My error's almost certainly off on this, but I know the big Canadian female artists that I'm thinking of did not work with Timbaland, so I'll throw out Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato is incorrect. Matt, can you steal?
Nelly Furtado.
Yeah, it kind of rhymes with Demi Lovato. It is Nelly Furtado. And that is the end of round one. John, how are things looking?
All right. Well, Matt has the lead with 50 and Paul has 30.
Yep. Yeah. Pretty close. We'll see how things go in round two. And to start off round two, Matt, as you got started, that means, Paul, you're picking for Matt to start off round two.
All right. We are going to start him off with music.
Okay.
And that will be the 60s.
All right. And Matt, lucky, lucky you, are taking a trip to the Throwback Lounge. And so, I need you to name the artist of this 1960 Billboard number one hit with the following lyrics. Do the chairs in your parlor seem empty and bare? Do you graze at your doorstep and picture me there? Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Hey! I added a little flair to the last word, again, just so you know.
And it was it was appreciated.
Yeah, yeah, I thought it really emphasized. It's probably better than the original song.
I'm about to give Paul his music points back here. Let's go with Sinatra.
Sinatra is incorrect. Paul, can you steal?
What was the year of it again?
1960.
Yeah, this is Are You Lonesome Tonight? So I'm going to go Elvis.
Elvis Presley is correct, and it is Are You Lonesome Tonight? Are You Lonesome Tonight? Yep, absolutely good steal. And now, Matt, you have to give a category to Paul.
Let's go with fashion.
And we finally have a 70s question.
What company was founded in 1973 in Gold Coast, Queensland, and focuses on surfing clothing and accessories? It was named after the Australian term for an oxbow lake, which is an isolated crescent-shaped pond left behind after a river loop is cut off and the river channel changes course.
I am going to hope that that's a Billabong.
Billabong is correct. There we go. Australian surfing company, you go Billabong.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Paul, where do you want, what do you want to give to Matt?
I am going to give Matt movies.
Okay.
And that one is the 60s.
Matt, you might get winded watching this 1960 Jean-Luc Godard influential French New Wave film about a wandering criminal named Michel and his American girlfriend, Patricia.
Can you read that one more time?
Mm-hmm. You might get winded watching this 1960 Jean-Luc Godard influential French New Wave film about a wandering criminal named Michel and his American girlfriend, Patricia.
I know I'm going to know this afterwards. I'm going to say The Chase.
The Chase is incorrect. Paul, can you steal?
I think so. I hope I don't choke on it, because I'm pretty sure this is Breathless.
Breathless is correct.
Wow.
And someone who went to film school, I think every film school nerd out there has seen Breathless. Yep.
I don't know much about Godard, but I know that's one of his. So
yeah,
that was yeah. It was kind of, I couldn't tell you about, you know, the characters or anything, yeah. But
sure. All right, he gets a steal, and now Matt, you have got to give Paul another category. We have TV, news and politics, slang, toys and games, sports, literature, and food left.
Slang.
Okay.
It's the 60s again.
Wow. Okay. What handy three-word phrase first came into use during the late 60s and refers to an act of shoplifting or stealing from a retail store?
Is that a five-finger discount?
Five-finger discount is correct. All right, we are doing well. And Paul, what do you want to give to Matt?
Let's give him the news.
Okay.
Your decade is the 90s.
What international scientific research program with the goal of determining the base pairs that make up our DNA and our identifying, mapping, and sequencing as all of our genes from both a physical and functional standpoint began in 1990 and completed in 2003?
The Human Genome Project.
The Human Genome Project is correct. Good job. All right, Matt, what do you want to give back to Paul?
Toys and games.
Okay.
And we finally have an 80s question.
Okay. You know, and we have a question from Jackie LaFave. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie.
Whammo used chemistry to create a toy substance that defied nature. It was released as a toy in 1981, although originally developed to clean up oil spills. At first glance, it looked and acted much like its named natural product with a granular, free-flowing texture. What is the name of this mystical and educational toy?
Boy, my first instinct was slime, but I played with that in the 70s, so I can't be that. Can you repeat, please?
Mm-hmm. Whammo used chemistry to create a toy substance that defied nature. It was released as a toy in 1981, although originally developed to clean up oil spills. At first glance, it looked and acted much like the named natural product with a granular and free-flowing texture. What is the name of this mystical and educational toy?
Granular texture. I can picture this stuff. I just don't know if, the only thing that's coming to me, I don't think it's correct, but I'm going to go with GAC.
GAC is incorrect. Matt, can you steal?
I don't think so. See, everything I can think of is either feels like it's the wrong time period for this. For some reason, granular texture keeps making me want to think sand-like. Is this kinetic sand?
Kinetic sand is incorrect, but you were right there. So this was sold in little buckets, and it was basically sand that had like a hydrophobic material all over it, and it was called magic sand.
It's just magic okay. Sand.
Yep.
Yeah.
As soon as he said granular, like sand, I was thinking... With granular, I was thinking much bigger chunks. As soon as he said sand, I was like, oh, crap, I know. We have so much of this in the house.
I just couldn't remember what the first word was. I know we have some, too, but...
Yeah. All right. No points awarded, but Paul, you got to give the next category to Matt.
Have some food, Matt.
All right. Tasty.
And that's also from the 80s.
Prior to the 1980s... Agaricus bisporus was typically a discarded variety of edible mushroom. Then, in the 1980s, it received a marketing rebrand and was given what name, coming from the Italian word for beautiful door?
Portobello.
Portobello is correct. It's also a road in London, which actually serves as a shopping district, the Portobello Road in London. And the mushrooms may have been sold there as well, but either or. All right. Good job. And now you're going to have to give Paul sports, literature, or TV.
Let's try literature.
Coming at you, Paul.
From the 50s.
What comic strip character first debuted in 1953? He wears a distinctive black eye patch, would hang out with his gang of friends, and was featured on small comics, included in individually wrapped pieces of bubblegum.
That's Bazooka Joe.
That is Bazooka Joe. And Paul, what do you want to give to Matt? Do you want to give him TV or sports, or what do you want to keep for yourself?
We are going to give him TV.
Okay.
From the 90s.
This is going to Matt, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. In 1992, presidential hopeful Bill Clinton played tenor saxophone on whose late night talk show?
Arsenio Hall.
Arsenio Hall. Standard trivia question there. Good job. And we are going to do our last question in round two as sports for Paul.
It's the 70s.
Okay. In 1973, the Battle of the Sexes tennis matches happened when Margaret Court and then Billie Jean King, played against what 55-year-old man?
Oh, what the hell is his name? I know this. I absolutely know that. Bobby Riggs.
Bobby Riggs is correct. You almost didn't know it, and then you did.
I knew that I knew it. It just... And as soon as you said Battle of the Sexes, I was like, perfect. Okay, whoever he wants to throw at, Billie Jean King, Margaret yes. Court.
All right. That is the end of round two. John, what are the scores?
Paul has 90 and Matt has 80.
All right. We have got us a close match here, but no new 200 club members today. But someone will get to keep going in the tournament. And to find out our wagers and who's going to be going that way, we need to know what our categories will be. Paul, as you are in the lead, what category do you want to go first into this final round?
We are going to go with music.
Okay.
That will be the 90s.
Okay. And Matt, what do you want to join with that?
Sports.
Knowing y'all, too, that's pretty much what I would have guessed would be the final categories.
That will be the 80s.
Okay, all right. So, we need to know your wagers based on 80s sports and 90s music.
All right, the wagers are in.
Okay, let's get started in the 90s music category. The song Circus Left Town tells the story of the last night what British songwriter saw his son alive before the son's untimely death in 1990. And our 80s sports question. What lucky professional snooker player began the 1986 World Snooker Championship as a 150-1 outsider, but he would end up winning the tournament, the only world title of his career? While our contestants are thinking about their answers, I am going to invite everyone out there to go check out Return Revenge Resurrection. If you guys like horror movies, you should check out Return Revenge Resurrection. They've done just recently over 100 episodes, all props to the guys over there who have been working hard on that podcast. If you guys are curious where to find it, you can go to BFOP Network, BFOPnetwork.com, and you will certainly find any nostalgia-based podcast that you're looking for. All right. Do either of you need a question reread?
I'll take that sports one again, please.
Sure. What lucky professional snooker player began the 1986 World Snooker Championship as a 150-1 outsider, but he would end up winning the tournament, the only world title of his career?
All right. I've got mine written down, locked in.
Same.
All right. Let's start off with Matt, as you were behind only by 10 points. What were your answers to the 90s music and the 80s sports questions?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to go well. So for the 90s music, the only person whose kid I could think of who died around that time was Eric Clapton. So Clapton. And for the snooker player, I was debating between picking an actual person who I knew who was a snooker champion or trying to figure out if this was just a clue. So I went with just the last name Johnson, hoping that was a Lucky Johnson.
Okay. And Paul, what were your answers?
Exactly the same. I am hoping that Lucky was a clue in that way and that we're looking for a Lucky Johnson here. And yes, Eric Clapton for the music one.
All right. The song Circus Left Town was about the night Eric Clapton last saw his son alive. And the professional snooker player is Joe Johnson. Lucky Johnson. So that is you both getting your wagers on this one, and John has that info. How's it going to turn out?
All right. Well, no real surprise. Matt went all in with 80, and Paul bet to cover with 81. So with a final score of 171 to 160. Is that right? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Paul's bad math on Paul. Paul, oh, yeah, Paul yeah. gave
oh,
an extra
I screwed
10.
Mine up.
Yeah. But so. It turned out okay for you. All right. Well, congratulations, Paul. And as you are going to be continuing on this tournament, well done. You're taking out our finalist from last season and the person who I thought was going to win it all. Unfortunately, he didn't. But you're all fantastic trivia players here. Matt Coleman, this is the end of your round or your tournament run. Now is the time for you to say anything you'd like.
You know, Paul played a great game. Did not start off the second half well there, so he took advantage of it. And you know, wishing him good luck going forward. It was fun to be back, and you know, I probably got lucky last year, so this is probably a more accurate result. But enjoy it every time, and look forward to hearing how the rest of the tournament turns out.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt. Paul, we'll hear from you again later as you'll be coming back to the show. But I appreciate all of you guys out there listening right now. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Paul, and thank you, John. This was another episode of Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Thank you for listening to Throwback Trivia Takedown. If you want to support the podcast, or if you'd like to be a contestant, go to patreon.com/throwbacktriviatakedown and pick a tier that's right for you. If you want to submit questions, you can email them to throwbacktriviatakedown@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you next time when two new contestants go head-to-head in nostalgic knowledge on Throwback Trivia Takedown.
We wrestled the demon Pazuzu in The Exorcist.
Your mother is in here, Karis. Would you like to leave a message? I'll see that she gets it.
We hooked the fisherman killer Ben Willis, and I know what you did last summer.
Oh, you got a letter? I got run over, Helen gets her hair chopped off, Julie gets a body in her trunk, and you get a letter. That's balanced.
We survived a summer away with the Angel of Death, Angela Baker, in sleepaway camp.
Look what I did. I packed you and your cousin some goodies for the ride up to camp. Wasn't that nice of me, hmm?
But we ain't seen nothing yet. Join Alex and Dean of the Return Revenge Resurrection Podcast as we go toe-to-toe with the ever-resourceful Michael Myers.
I shot him 6 times!
Be there as we discuss the Halloween franchise in its entirety, from John Carpenter's beloved 1978 classic through David Gordon Green's epic forthcoming finale.
I shot him in the heart!
We cover it all, the good, the bad, and the bloody. Return, Revenge, Resurrection, a podcast that slashes its way through horror movie franchises.
You don't know what death is!
New episodes every Thursday, available wherever podcasts are found.
I told everyone!